On Criminal, we bring you true crime stories told by people who know them best.
We didn't believe in setting fires because that was too dangerous. We were, you know, a kind of gentler kind of crooks, so to speak.
So the best plan you had was that you'd lasso it.
Yeah, never imagined I'd use it for a camel.
I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Criminal. Did you have to say what was in the box?
Phoebe, we told lies.
Listen to Criminal every week, wherever you get your podcasts.
A new social media campaign is targeting celebrities who haven't spoken out against what's happening in Gaza. But is it working?
The sort of blockout movement is a lot more about the shifting attitudes towards celebrity than it is about really achieving anything. Because yes, Kim Kardashian has lost followers, and there are some cases where celebrities are seeing a dent. But I think this movement misunderstands how traditional celebrities make most of their money.
I'm Taylor Lorenz, and we'll be talking about the celebrity blockout this week on Power User.
All right, what is up, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm David.
And we've been taking notes this whole week about what we wanted to talk about. And it's turned out this is mostly a social media episode. We have a lot to say about a lot of different social networks. Starting with Google Plus, of course, is the hottest one. Just kidding. YouTube fighting some things. Twitter fighting some things. Reddit fighting some things. Instagram fighting some things. But first, we want to talk about the Zenfone.
Mm-hmm.
You've been actually using the Zenfone alongside.
I can officially say, I've been using this for about 2 weeks now.
Yay.
Feels kind of cool.
Somebody else, baby. Somebody
well played.
Else.
I want to preface this by saying, also, this is the first non-Pixel phone I've used since the Pixel 3. The 3 is when I switched to the Pixel lineup, and I've only used Pixels since then.
So this is a fairly close to stock Android phone.
Yes.
How have you been finding the Zenfone 10?
I will start it by saying I really appreciate... Oh, you have all the fun colors.
I was just showing the colors.
Five colors this time?
Yeah, five colors.
Blue, white, black, green, red?
Yes.
Yeah. Blue's hot.
Blue is hot. And by hot, I mean really subtle.
It's really cool, actually.
Red is really quite bright.
That's warm, yeah.
Yeah,
I like it.
The green is like a bright pine green.
Yeah, I've been using the green. I think we kind of were wondering if... which one's gonna fade the worst? Because remember, the Zenfone 9 had terrible fading. I do think this back material is gonna not fade as bad.
They said they made the material better from last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually,
they said that.
Yeah. So I'll start with just my summary of the phone,
which is
I love the Zenfone 9 shamelessly. It's one of my favorite phones ever. It won my small phone of the year last year, and I could only really come up with maybe two nitpicks about that phone. One is it didn't have wireless charging. They added it to this phone. Mm-hmm. So it's got 30 watt wired, 15 watt wireless. Boom. They did that.
Epic.
The other nitpick was the back material just faded so hard. I had a red phone. Within a month, keep in mind, you own a phone for years. Within a month, my phone was dark and used looking. Really
patinaed.
But not in a good way.
I'm thinking after a year, 2 years, 3 years, this phone's going to look crazy. Yeah. I mean, it probably bottoms off after a while, but that was... that was a legit nitpick I had. This phone still feels kind of the same. It's a soft touch. It's mm-hmm. It's got a little texture to it, but they told me it's a different material. So I said, oh, okay, it's a different material. It hopefully is a better aging, more durable material. And so far, that's felt like it's held up to be true as well. So I no longer have anything negative to say at all about this phone.
That's crazy.
It literally just has the tiniest... littlest nitpicks for me, but this phone is incredible.
That's kind of how I feel. Those two things I agree with. I said the wireless charging was a deal breaker for me, and I was like, man, if this had wireless charging,
now it does.
I would use it, and here we are. I'm using it. And I do agree. I take this to the climbing gym. It gets chalk all over it. I throw it on the ground. I've seen very little wear on the back of it. And the green's really light, so I feel like it could show wear very easily. Mm-hmm. I was hoping I had it with me on, some hiking over the last week, but I didn't. So I didn't get to see if it got that dirty from there.
For those of you out of the loop, Andrew, I said was on vacation when we recorded last week, but then his flight got canceled and now it's a different time.
It was terrible.
So he's back.
It was rough.
He's back.
We're rescheduling it, but but we're back. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. And but yeah, so far, like you said, I've loved it. It has wireless charging. The size I'm getting used to, because I'm not used to something small, which I think, let's take a minute. We were arguing about this beforehand.
What did you say? Someone said on YouTube? Or right. what?
So there were a lot of comments. I don't know if it was from your tweet when it got announced or something, but a lot of people are saying, like, this is a misconception. This is not a small phone. We are talking about relative to any other, mostly phone, any other Android phone you can get right now. It's like one of the smallest ones, specifically with flagship specs.
It is definitively. I'm pretty sure I can say it's definitively the smallest phone with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2.
Yeah.
And it is definitely the smallest flagship phone you can get that doesn't fold in half.
The iPhone SE is technically slightly smaller, but that's not a flagship phone.
As someone who's used a lot of phones too, like when I type on this phone, the keyboard feels a little bit small sometimes.
I agree. Do you have it? Wait. Before we go forward, I also think one of the complaints of that, though, was comparing it to the iPhone mini. When it is closer to the size of a regular iPhone than the iPhone mini, but it was being compared to that just because it is one of the smaller Android devices.
Sure.
The iPhone is a smaller iOS device.
The iPhone mini, which is no longer made.
Yes.
When it was out, it was, by a landslide, the smallest flagship phone you could get.
Yeah.
Currently, it is small. Is what we're trying to say.
It is a small
phone. It is a small phone.
It is my front runner for best small phone of the year again right now.
Do you think this would be a front runner for just overall best phone of the year?
So here's where it gets interesting.
Or best value?
So I think yes for best value.
Mm-hmm. $699, right?
Yes, the same price as last year.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Crazy.
Awesome value. Literally incredible battery life.
Yeah.
Really good cameras. I think in order to be like an overall MVP best phone, it's a little more blurry. Like I think you could argue on impact or on overall like sentiment about a phone. Yes, it's right there. But I would also want slightly better cameras. I would want
I dig the
cameras. So I think the cameras are good, but I think they're B+ to A- good, where the absolute cream of the crop, the S23 Ultras, the ones that have a telephoto camera, the iPhone 14 Pros, the Pixel Pro, those are going to be a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have a telephoto. I think that's just one thing it's lacking, and it's a small phone, and that would be a lot of room to take up. But it's not like a flagship camera system. It's right underneath one. So it's not going to be the best phone of the year, but it is good at everything it does.
Yeah.
It also has a headphone jack on the top.
I just want to do a quick rundown of like what's inside this phone, right?
Yeah.
Snapdragon 8 Gen 2, wireless charging, it's 5.9 inches, 144 hertz, IP68, headphone jack, 30 watt charging, like very durable. It's got basically everything that anyone ever asked for. And the fact that the battery life is so good
Stupid. When it's a small phone makes no sense.
So I'll say for my battery life, it's the middle of the day. I'm at 47%. That's because I haven't charged it since yesterday morning. It's incredible.
Wow. It really is.
I'm a day and a half
Holy
in it, almost half
crap.
Battery. You said 144 hertz. I will mention, it is almost never 144 hertz.
Okay.
So you can put it at auto and it will go up to 144 hertz only when Game Genie has told it that it is playing a game that can take advantage of 124.
Not even on like the home screen?
Not only, yeah,
does
it's
it do
120 all the time.
Well, I don't care.
So it's just like they get to say 144 on the press materials, but it's 120 most
of the time. 120 is perfectly fine.
It's great.
That's a great photo.
This is low light at Coney Island the other
night.
That's
a really good picture.
Killer low light photo.
Yeah.
Sick.
Asus, I was very impressed.
I've always really liked Asus's cameras, even when I did like the Zenfone 5 or 6 review way back in the day. Yeah. They don't lean super hard into like computational photography HDR stuff, which I think is a strong suit for them because it gives them a little more contrast. They're a little sharper. There's less noise reduction.
Yeah.
They
keep it simple.
I think they do well in the test every year as well. Like, it is potentially one of the top 4 or 5 phones in this blind, or it gets knocked out by the winner and puts up a fight against it.
Which is, I think a lot of people would argue like, oh, so okay, why is it not one of the best flagship cameras? It still has to compete with ultra wide, still has to compete with telephoto, still has to compete with video. It has no telephoto. It does have really, really great stabilization.
Right.
Which should be obvious if you look at the giant camera module.
Almost to the point where it's like, too finicky about being like, no, you weren't perfectly still. Maybe you should take that picture again. And I'll look at it and be like, that looks totally fine. But now I'm worried about it.
I just remember walking around just taking like handheld video, just like normal, not thinking too hard about it. And I played it back. It was just like normal 4K 30, not even the super smooth mode. and it was just remarkably smooth. And I was like, this is as good as I'd want it. It's really good.
Yeah. And I still am like, how did they get the $6.99 price point?
It's crazy.
That's so crazy. So
it's not going to sell well. This is my thing. Is like, and actually, Aaron, he made a video where most of his video was about how this phone won't sell well. And I kind of tend to agree. Uh-huh. But I am so happy that Asus has continued to spend on and make money, or to make the effort to make this phone good and small, because it takes extra work and extra engineering to fit it in a small space and still make it so good. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in the US this year. They're actually going to launch it quarter three.
That's epic.
Which is cool. I don't know if it's going to be in a bunch of carrier stores or maybe just one or two.
That would be nice.
But yeah, it's not going to oversell the big screen, because what do people like buying?
Big screen.
Big screen. So
yeah, I don't know. Claire's using an S10e and she was like, I want this as my next phone.
S10e is a really good parallel, because this also has the fingerprint reader power button.
Jack. It really is. Oh my God, this stays is the S10e.
Yeah, stays with the headphone jack.
Yeah.
Does the S10e also have the corner hole punch cutout?
Yeah.
Remember the Big Hero 6 wallpaper we
used? That's exactly it. Yeah. So that's a good, I think that's a good parallel.
Comparison. Yeah, but overall, love it. It took me a little while to get used to a smaller phone, because I've always used bigger ones. My tiny gripes are the fingerprint sensor I miss under the screen, just because when I grab it with my left hand, even though I've used my pointer finger as in a fingerprint unlock, it's not great at figuring that out. Mm. And then it has that like side swipe thing you can use, but you can only launch apps in it in floating windows, which I just what? Like, let me open a full side. A full screen app from that, because
it's like a one-handed mode thing,
it's like the quick actions from the side, and you can either do like settings toggles on it or also apps, but
they're
only
windowed.
Mm-hmm. So then you have to open it and then like click the big button, because I hate using windowed apps on a phone.
Got
there's just not my
on an already small phone
on an already small
maybe
phone.
The idea is that it's sort of like Arc, where you're like opening a window temporarily and then you're closing it quickly.
I think like the best version would be like you have an app already and you're like, I need to throw the calculator app up and do it really quick and then like click at it.
That's kind of cool,
and that makes sense.
It's a cool idea.
I just don't love
it.
If it was full screen, that seems like a really simple addition it could do. Would be awesome
to be able to do that every time.
We like toggles. Add toggles. Like, what was the Pixel Fold thing?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Give me the option to have a separate layout on the inside and outside. Just a toggle.
Yeah, just a
toggle. Doesn't have to be on by default. Just let me toggle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like Android because it's customizable. Like, those are simple ones.
We like toggles.
Yeah.
Toggle me.
Moral of the story.
All right. Moving on.
YouTube is testing blocking a video entirely if you have an ad blocker installed.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't run it, but this is the thing about these headlines, is whenever I see a headline that says YouTube is testing, I kind of just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because YouTube tests a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
A lot of some things do make it. YouTube was testing removing a dislike counter and it made it to the top and they disliked it. YouTube was testing, you know, some other weird things that eventually made it to the top. But YouTube also tests like insane things that they just want to see if it'll work with like a fraction of a percent of people, and then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how far in the testing process this one has made it. It seems like it's still not fully rolled out. But yeah, you know, social media companies like to protect the way they make money. So if you have an ad blocker, you're not making them any money.
That's the thing. How many things do they test that are directly affecting their bottom line? Like, YouTube offers an insane amount of stuff with free video uploads and essentially unlimited space for anybody. So like, they need to make money, and I'm not going to sit here and like totally defend YouTube. They have plenty of money, but
it's their whole business.
Exactly. Like, I would be pretty surprised if this doesn't push forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will also say, I've had YouTube Premium for so long that I forgot there were ads on YouTube.
I was guilty of that for a while too, yeah.
And I know that for one person, it's kind of expensive, but you can have up to 6 people in your Google family plan, and it's only like $3.80 a month per person if you have all 6
you
people in your family
between
plan.
Between everybody, right?
It's funny how we think about these prices. It's only $3.80 for no ads on an unlimited video supply of the entire internet.
You don't have to go to college for $3.80 a month.
That's it. One person has to pay and everyone pays them back, right?
Okay, yeah.
Just checking. Yeah. It's the smart way of doing it.
If you work for YouTube, you didn't just hear that.
Nope.
No.
Nope. We are family.
We are family. Yeah.
To describe how it seems like they're testing it, though, essentially, if you were to try and play a video with an ad blocker on, rather than immediately just block videos entirely, they give you like three chances with a screen that says like
they designed a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they want to like push people towards like why they're doing this. And it says, it looks like you may be using an ad blocker. Playback will be blocked unless YouTube's allowed on the, is disabled on the ad blocker list. Or you can use YouTube Premium. So trying to push it towards that. Also with a like, creators still get paid from your subscription. So more along the lines of like, help your creator friends.
Yeah.
I will say, like, it felt like the earlier internet, everyone was like, oh, ads suck, like, get away from ads, like, use ad blockers, blah, blah, blah. I think people are a little more open to like seeing ads because we kind of zone them out a little bit more now. Like, even banner ads on websites, like, I don't even really notice anymore. And then, like, YouTube video. The thing with YouTube video ads, though, is I was so used to not seeing them for so long. And then sometimes I go into incognito mode to watch a YouTube video because I don't want it to
double ads.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Double ads at the beginning. They're both 30 seconds. I'm like, jeez, this is like a 3-minute video and I'm watching 1 minute of ads.
Yeah. I also agree with you in like being more okay with ads just because more and more of how the internet is working is without
pay creators.
Those ads is like you're not getting the people creating those. So like
if it was going to Meta, I would like block the ads. But if it's going to creators, I'm like,
yeah, it's going to creators. Or like if you think of your favorite tech blog, like 9to5Mac or Verge or something like that, it's like I'm going to put those on my ad. Like I use an ad block, but I also use the whitelist
feature
very like cognizantly of like making sure that the people I want to keep reading are whitelisted from that. So they make money and I can keep reading because so many places are shutting down now because they're losing money. And I'm sure a lot of those places are scared of these AI things all their information.
Yeah. And this is even beyond just online video. Like we just saw a whole bunch of ESPN layoffs. How many ads do you see on ESPN? Like when you watch TV, aren't there like four consecutive minutes of ads or something like that for every 10 minutes of TV? Something crazy.
Yeah.
And they're still like, we're out of money for you. Sorry.
I know that like SpongeBob episodes, they have two episodes or they have one episode within a 15-minute block, but then like 4 or 5 minutes of that is ads. So a SpongeBob episode is actually like 11 minutes long.
Wow.
Which is so short.
I think that's
so
like most television.
Yeah, like a lot of TV episodes.
Yeah, it's crazy. 20 minutes.
Like when you watch a 30-minute TV episode, you only watched a 21-minute thing.
Yeah.
And most of like a lot of ads.
Yeah. I feel so old that we're explaining how commercials and SpongeBob was as kids. Like, and that kids, there are people listening to this that don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, kids, for those of you who don't know, there's this thing called linear television where you don't get to choose where you are in the video ever. It's just playing nonstop and you don't get to hit pause. Well, I guess maybe you could.
Which is what like Pluto TV is now.
But then unskippable ads would just play back to back to back to back to back to back.
Unskippable ads.
Yeah. Then you'd move on and watch the rest.
Commercial break. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's like when we go to break, but we don't really have commercials. Well, sometimes we do, I guess.
Well, speaking of breaks, let's take a quick ad break.
Wow.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about social media. But of course, we have this little fun thing that we do for ad breaks, which is trivia.
Trivia.
It's way better than SpongeBob.
Can you remind us of the score?
The score.
Andrew
for those wondering.
Andrew got a lot of points last week. He wants to press that.
There we go.
Marquez with 19. David with 23.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew with 20.
20 club.
Rude.
This is going to be rough when I lose both of these.
Cool. Can we clip that? Can we clip that for later?
Marquez, I wouldn't have done that high five if I had known that he was just trying to put you in the
20 club.
All right. First question. So, what was the first commercially available smartphone with wireless charging? Seeing as the Zenfone 10 now has wireless charging, what was the first one?
I'm going to enjoy not being last for this one episode.
I have a general idea.
It's wrong.
Okay.
Ad break.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway.
And I'm Ed Elson.
And we're the hosts, the co-hosts. It's kind of unfair to call us co-hosts. I'm really the host. He's he's my Robin Givens. Let's just be clear on what this is. But anyways, we're the hosts of Prop G Markets, your go-to podcast for all things money. Every Monday, we provide brash, unfiltered analysis on market-moving news, high-flying stocks, growing sectors, stupid boardroom decisions, and Master of the Universe CEOs.
And on Thursdays, we speak with some of the world's greatest finance professors, Wall Street insiders, and industry experts to keep you informed without getting bored. So if you want to understand money and how you can get more of it, You have to talk about money, and we're here to help you do that. Follow Prof G Markets on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts to automatically receive new episodes every Monday and every Thursday.
That's right. The good news is we know how to get you economic security. The bad news is the answer is slowly. We'll tell you how on Prof G Markets.
Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So it can be tough to stay organized when your team is spread across time zones. With Coda, you can help keep your whole team on the same page with an all-in-one collaborative workspace that brings together the best of documents, spreadsheets, and apps into one platform. That means less time ping-ponging between different tabs and tools and more time on your projects. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned when managing planning cycles and while measuring objectives and key results. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So over 50,000 teams across the world collaborate with Coda, from the New York Times to Square, from Toast to TED and Uber. So if you want a platform that enables and empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. You can head over to coda.io/wave. So that's Coda, coda.io/wave to get started for free. Coda.io/wave.
All right, welcome back. So I have a question, and David, I promise this will make sense in a minute, but it might be confusing right now. Marquez, like Adam, usual. Free yes. agency happened.
It did.
Well, yeah. Last week.
It popped off.
Were there any like cool fun things, big trades, blockbuster trades? Like,
Andrew's
did you find it hard to follow at all?
Andrew's literally being like, David, I know you don't know sport.
okay, but it will make sense. It will roll into something we all understand. Dude, you didn't know who Wayne Gretzky was the other day. I'm not going to ask if you paid attention to free
Continue,
agency.
Continue, I'm sorry.
That's fair. Yeah. No, there being, was some good
I'm not
trades.
Saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm a little hurt.
Chris Paul got waived, and he was technically a Washington Wizard for a few days.
That was
and
weird.
Then now he's on the Warriors, which is fascinating because he was like their biggest Not biggest.
You're a
rival.
Big Chris Paul fan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He was their rival, and I was going to play for them.
So Bunch you're a Warriors fan now?
Well, I'll keep watching them play. It's tough being a West Coast. Sorry, I'm tangenting already. West Coast basketball fan because all the games start at 10:30 p.m.
Yeah, you end up going to bed at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, I want to watch some East Coast teams this year, but yeah, there were some moves.
Have you heard of the Knicks? Yeah.
The New York Knicks. Yeah, I've heard of them.
We did make a good signing, though.
Did you?
Yeah. DiVincenzo?
Dante DiVincenzo? Yeah, he's going to run your whole team?
No. But we got the like core crew now.
From the Villanova?
Yeah, from the Villanova team that won. So like, I like it. It's fun.
They're going to keep winning.
Naturally.
So, question. When you're following free agency, how do you follow it?
Alex.
Honestly, I was going
to
say,
shout out to Locked
here.
On Knicks. Yeah, Alex's podcast.
Honestly, it's usually Twitter. Or I'll open Instagram and it'll refresh and there'll be a Woj post at the top.
Oh yeah, Woj is like Woj? It was funny. So there's this guy.
Is that a real thing?
Adrian Woj. I don't know.
Wojnarowski.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher his name. What is it?
Wojnarowski. Even I know him.
He's a crazy reporter that he knows things before the players. So he tweeted out like a week ago about one player that was like not getting their contract extended or something like that. And that player was like, "Thanks for the heads up. I had no idea."
Oh man.
Yeah.
So he knows things.
He's
but
inside.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, so. The reason you might be wondering why we're talking about this.
Yes.
To me, the two best ways to follow free agency, I'm an NHL fan, not an NBA fan, but they're like exactly
similar,
the same.
Similar, yeah.
This all happens on July 1st, and I follow all of it through Reddit and Twitter, which July 1st, Reddit and Twitter were very hard to follow on.
Oh.
Because Reddit lost all third-party apps on July 1st. Mm. They all closed down. And Twitter had a fun little rate limit feature, whatever you want to call it, the day of July 1st for both of them. So
nice.
I would like to talk about both of these and how annoying they were.
God, where do we start?
Yeah, which would you like to talk about first, Twitter or Reddit?
First, I would like to say I do not know sports, but
I
think that we should talk about Reddit first.
Cool.
For no reason.
I agree with that reason.
Cool.
We've All had right. a we talked brief. Well, we talked in length about
yes
in what
length.
Reddit is doing
in length. Yeah,
in a previous episode.
Yeah.
The update is that now they've gone through with actually nuke. We got to the limit for when they had to pay the bill, right?
Yes, they didn't nuke. So they turned on the API cost thing, not all third-party apps shut down.
No.
I believe Bacon Reader is still around and said they are switching to a paid-only option very soon, or that was that Relay for Reddit?
I'm still using Relay and have had no updates
okay.
at all.
Relay is still like on the fence, but I think the most recent thing I saw about them is that they were like, it's probably going to cost about $7 a month, which might mean just shut down because that's expensive to ask for.
Yeah.
I think we would probably pay that much.
Yeah.
I would probably not want to pay more than five, but I would.
Seven's a lot of money.
Seven's a lot of money per month. But if you think about what has to go through Play Store and App Store, and by the time they make it back to like pay for these stupid API changes, like they're not totally sure yet. But Apollo, Sync, and Reddit is Fun all shut down. They were gone end of June 30th, over with. And I just have to say, because of free agency, I had to use the default app for a little bit. And I previously had mentioned that it's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And now after using it for a weekend, I think I need to make a small correction on that.
It's really bad.
It is so much worse than I thought it was. It is horrible.
Oh, no,
it is the worst experience I think I've ever dealt with.
It's pretty bad.
An app. I just like. Have you used the default app?
I have managed to avoid it so far.
Yeah. I haven't
used
it. Oh my
goodness! Look at scrolling through this. I'm in dark mode.
Okay.
Oh, I'm also in airplane mode, so that might take a second.
It's not loading any.
Also,
I want to make a quick correction that Bacon Reader did fully shut down.
But did it?
Relay for Reddit is still around for now, but they will be moving to a subscription model in the coming weeks.
I'm so glad they're keeping it.
The developer is trying to get the API calls that they're using as down as low as possible so they can charge as little as possible.
Yeah.
But we'll find out soon how much that actually
I've gotten a couple updates in the Play Store, and every time I see an update for Relay for Reddit, I'm like, oh no, what is it? I load up the notes, and it just says, API optimizations, and I'm like,
oh,
okay,
wow,
keep going. So it still works.
Yeah. Dang. So this is, I just loaded up the hockey subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
It has a pin post at the top. Look, in dark mode, you like can't even tell where a new post starts.
Oh yeah.
Do you see how bad this looks?
Mm.
Then a potential full page ad.
That's an ad.
This is an ad.
Oh, yeah.
Full page ads.
Full page video ad. And then just
ad?
Like these terrible, just everything looks.
And that's a full page video ad?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not logged in, which I think would still be, but look how many ads there are. This is horrible.
This has just been my normal Reddit experience.
Well,
for so
it sounds
long.
Like that's probably why you don't like Reddit very much.
If you're on Android, use Relay for Reddit. It's, in my opinion, one of the best Reddit apps that's ever been made.
Agreed.
And it's plus free. One. It's still free for now. So,
for now. Is weirdly it? Enough, oh, is,
it's free for now.
Oh,
but
I was using Relay Pro, I guess that's because I paid for it.
Yeah, it's still free for now, but they're going to be moving to a subscription model. They haven't announced the price yet, but
interesting.
They must be doing pretty well if they can take that time, because they're getting charged. They're starting to.
Yeah, I paid for Relay Pro, but it was a one-time fee.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, same. Yeah, it was like a couple bucks.
It was $3, I think.
Have to switch it. There's still
$3 7 years ago.
Yeah, switch over. The scary part about all of this, though, is that like, the more people that go over to these apps that didn't have as big of a user base before, the more it's going to cost them.
Yep, and then the more likely it might just
don't
shut
use Relay.
Also,
don't.
It's awful.
It's the worst to use it.
Weirdly enough, Claire has Reddit as Fun on her phone, and it still works. And
I
don't know how.
I read something that like there was some weird setting that Reddit as Fun still works for some reason, but it's going to get patched soon, and it's gonna get destroyed soon.
I'm sure it will. She told me, she's like, I've been using Reddit. And I was like, no, you haven't. And she's like, no, I'm fine. He's like, you just haven't refreshed it yet. Like, you probably, it's just old stuff. And then she refreshes it right in front of me. I was like, can I borrow this for a minute? I got to get my fix in. So right now, pretty much what I'm doing is I have the default app if I want to like really look at something. But because I'm not logged in the default app, for me to go try and read comments on Reddit is like a chore, so I don't find myself like freely scrolling through it anymore.
Okay, so it logs you out, but it still works. So does Claire? So yeah, apparently
she doesn't log into anything.
Apparently, it's Reddit is Fun currently is like basically just accessing the old.reddit like public website and using that data somehow.
Huh.
It says most likely using the .json API, which is still available anonymously. So you can't you can't be logged in and use it,
which is annoying.
So it's basically just like a different interface to read the website, I guess.
Front page
without being logged in.
If you're Like if you're trying to go to a certain subreddit, I guess that still would work okay, yeah. Because then you can just, you have to search it every time.
To be fair, this is as of 4 days ago, so maybe Reddit patched it and yeah. Now they're shut down, so.
It'll probably be on there. But I mean, yeah. Like ultimately, anyway. Yeah.
So yeah, following yeah, NBA free agency sad. Or NFL free agency on Reddit would have been pretty tough.
This is like impossible.
But yeah. Then there's Twitter.
But then there's Twitter.
There's Twitter.
Which is great.
All right. So the Twitter thing that happened was on July 1st. A lot of people might have seen this little notification pop up that says rate limit exceeded. And
did any of you guys get it?
I did.
Mm-hmm. I have not gotten it.
But I did it the first thing when I woke up in the morning, I opened Twitter and I saw it. Oh. I think it's within like 24 hours or whatever. So I probably hit it the day before and then it went into effect. Great notification prompt for people that have no idea what that means. Great job, Elon. But basically they set this limit so that you can only read a certain number of posts. And they also, for some reason, made it so it was a different amount for Twitter Blue users. It was 10 times the amount for Twitter Blue users. Yeah. It started as 600 for non-Blue users and 6,000 for Blue users. They are increasing it more and more over time. Elon said it was temporary. We'll see if it's temporary.
Yeah. They also didn't tell anyone till 1 p.m. Eastern, like the yeah. whole morning. And,
the
and
whole
like,
morning it was
and
just,
like, yeah. like I said, this is NBA and NHL free agency. There were like some of the biggest reporters that I follow trying to see stuff. They're just like, well, I guess you can look at all this on my MySpace page because like this is not working. And, yeah. and those people need to scour the internet to like yeah. look for breaking news mm-hmm. and Twitter's supposed to be the site of breaking news and now you're limiting that.
I think that the reason that they turned this on was that they are trying to figure out what AI companies are scraping Twitter without using the paid API, because you can do that without using mm-hmm. the paid API using scraping services, and technically it'll just like run through tweets really rapidly, so you'll hit a wall really quickly. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they actually like make it a temporary thing, or if they just have it for a very long period of time because they need to keep catching these companies, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. That's a similar excuse to what Steve Huffman said.
It is.
Is like, which AI I think is that's
a
scraping.
I think it's a legit excuse.
Agreed.
Yeah, but it sucks that like this new era of technology is coming in and it's basically completely destroying all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's destroying a lot of other users. I'm sure Woj hit his rate limit for
the thing about Woj is he's on the phone, he's getting his info, and then he's just tweeting it. And so everyone who's trying to follow and refresh and find the latest stuff will hit their limits probably if they're not logged in or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of like we constantly see Google and YouTube like fighting their demons of like people trying to take advantage of this site. In Twitter's case, it's people scraping or AI services scraping. In YouTube's case, a lot of times it's spammers and scammers and things like that, people making fake accounts. So I could imagine like the brute force version of this on YouTube would be like, you left too many YouTube comments, rate limit exceeded. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean rate limit exceeded? I like going around and leaving comments on things. But it's like, well, spammers just go around and leave thousands of comments on things. So if we just set a hard cap before we think about it at all, that's at least a way to stop scammers from being so effective.
Yeah.
And this is Twitter's version of that. It's like, wow, people are going around scraping all of Twitter, pulling thousands of things off the site and whatever they're doing with it, we're not getting paid.
Yeah.
So we'll just set a hard limit and that's temporary. We'll figure out a better way to do something else about it later in the future. But for now, some regular users are going to hit that limit too. And oh, well.
Also, all the tech VCs have all been like, if you're hitting the rate limit, then you need to go outside and touch grass. And the funny thing about that is like, bro, you own this app. Like the point, you are clearly just using that as an excuse because you're trying to make us use the app as much as possible. So you can't just like turn around
it
and be like,
it is kind of funny that the people who want us to use the app.
My app is too toxic for you, so you should go outside. Like, all right.
I feel like cool, Elon's was like, we're not going to tell anyone and they're going to just think Twitter broke.
Yeah.
Then at 1 o'clock, I'm going to tell people it's a very small number and then everyone's going to complain. And then an hour later, I'm going to be like, well, hold on, we'll increase it. And then another hour later, he's like, okay, we'll increase it more. And then right after that is like, touch grass, losers. And like, it's like, what is going on? How is this the PR cycle of Twitter?
The Elon cycle. Yeah, that's pretty much consistent with everything that's ever happened negatively to him. So, interesting. Yeah.
It's just I don't know. I can't believe you don't announce it at first because everyone was very confused. They just thought Twitter was going down. Like they thought it was one of those days where Twitter was just not going to quite work.
It's a funny thing because some of these, it's funny that this coincidence it's like the, how do I say this? YouTube also never tells anyone about the changes that it makes to stop spammers and scammers. All the algorithmic changes, it's a black box. All the rule changes about things like that, that you can't do with an account that you just made. When we made a brand new account for this podcast and we tried to upload and it took like 24 hours to process, I'm sure that's another rule we don't know about. But the reason they never announce those rules is so that those spammers and scammers cannot read the rule book and go, how do I get around this? Because that's a guidebook for how you get around all those rules.
Yeah.
But it's a weird coincidence that with Twitter, this limit also coincided with regular users' use, where like a regular user could just be reading tweets and then hit the limit.
Yeah.
Where like most of the things with YouTube, it's like you can't leave 300 comments in an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you did, you'd think YouTube broke because you couldn't leave any more comments.
Yeah.
But most regular people are never going to do that.
Reddit has had that built in since like the beginning. Like you can't leave like more than like 3 comments within like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, or it goes, oh, that's kind of spammer behavior.
Or make more than that many posts within 10 minutes. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure you can't, you know, change your profile picture 10 times in 10 minutes. I'm sure there's a lot of things we don't know that you can't do on YouTube and Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's just this one happens to be something that regular people are like, wait, what? I hit the limit. What? On? I'm just acting normal. What's going on?
Yeah. When you do views on a thing, that's just, you're scrolling through hundreds and hundreds of like posts and comments, like going through one post in their comments, like you're hitting 100
when
views.
When somebody gets traded,
quickly.
I scroll through all the reaction tweets so fast. There's like hundreds of memes about the guy that just got traded. It's it's just pretty easy. I haven't hit the limit yet, but I imagine it's not that hard.
I hit it. Although you're verified, I'm unverified. So 600, like when it first happened, 600 posts. You kidding? I'm not even out of bed. I'm through 1,000 posts before I even step my feet on the floor.
Touch grass, loser.
So yeah, it was a hectic day, and it happened on a day where like Twitter and Reddit were very important, and I was very sad. And you know, I really feel like both of these has just turned into me using them far less on my phone, which probably is a good thing.
It's probably ultimately
terrible for them to make money, but it's ultimately.
Yeah, the ultimate goal of all these social media companies is to make as much money as possible, basically. I'm so simplifying, but like they want to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
And if the mechanic of them making money
doesn't work, you
spend more time on the site so you see more ads,
then
anything they do that's counter to that seems hilariously dumb.
Yeah.
So this seemed pretty stupid. You're getting people to leave the site faster, thus making less money.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
Also, on July 1st, there were like massive surges of signups to Mastodon and to Blue Sky.
Oh, this happens every time there's a weird Twitter feature. Literally anytime there's any sort of weird thing on Twitter, you get like some surge, I'm sure, on all these sites.
Yeah.
Mastodon, T2, everything. Yeah.
Probably not.
We'll probably talk about those after the break. We got to get to Twitter competitors, right? That's its own section.
Oh, yes.
And a fresh one. So we got some new things to talk about there.
Yeah.
But before we get there, let's take one more quick break and let's do a trivia question.
All right. Trivia question number 2.
Really hoping I know this one.
Maybe, maybe not. In the 2022 blind smartphone camera test,
I should know this one.
The Pixel 6a won first place. What phone came in third?
Third?
That's right. Well, so there's two. It's either two phones that are tied for third.
There's two thirds.
Or
is there?
Okay, yes, because there's no time
or ELO rating.
What?
Because it was 2022.
Yeah, we did.
Just
ELO.
Kidding. No, we did do ELO. There is a third. So is it in which category?
Overall.
ELO? Overall third highest ELO.
Yes.
Okay, I should know this.
Oh, so all three of them put together.
What?
There's a standard photo, a low light photo, and a portrait photo.
Standard? No, we had overall.
Oh, we did
it. Overall ELO.
Okay.
Pixel 6a won, and I remember second place. Dang.
Was Pixel 6 Pro?
Was it? Or was it not?
7 Pro.
I lived in the sheet for like 2 weeks.
7 Pro.
I know the bottom
one. Are you sure that was second? Are you sure that was second?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And was Pixel 7 third?
7 Pro. We didn't have a 7 in
there. All right. Time for break.
This week on The Pitch, we're back to pitches. And this one's coming from my job.
What Podcast AI does is
it lets podcast producers become 10 times more productive.
How much are you charging the pitch?
We're charging $99, and Josh came in right before we doubled our prices.
What's keeping something like a Restream from just going like, yep, we do all this AI now stuff too?
So there's a lot of these older companies that are tacking on AI, and that's kind of the issue. They're tacking it on.
You built this really quickly. What's to stop anybody else from doing this? What's the moat?
How do you build a moat when you're building with AI? That's this week on The Pitch. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's loud, deafening, cacophonous.
It's a nightmare.
Oppressive.
And just what is it that many people think is pretty nightmarish and yet are still willing to shell out quite a bit of money for a night out at a restaurant?
Sound is the number one complaint that diners have about their experience. So why are restaurants so loud, and when did that start happening?
Is there anything anyone can do to fix it? We've got the answers on the latest episode of Gastropod.
All that, plus the science behind the perfect playlist to accompany your meal. This special episode is part of our new collaboration with the podcast Switched on Pop.
Find Gastropod and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. So Marquez, you said this new app you're trying is a for sure Twitter killer. You said Twitter is probably going to be done by the end of the week. I think that's what you said off camera.
That's what some advocates would interpret my statement as.
Oh,
but
that's how I took
advocates.
It.
I'll read what I wrote.
You mean
and
Mark Zuckerberg?
Then I'll expand on it. How about that?
Sure. I like that.
Okay, so what I tweeted, and just for background, Twitter, mostly text-based. I think we can agree it's a at least started off that way. So the number one thing Twitter has over Blue Sky and Mastodon and T2 and all these other competitors is has always been the people. That's what makes Meta launching their Twitter competitor Threads so interesting. Yeah. They'll port everyone's Instagram handles over and we'll just have people right away. And I tweeted that. I hit send. Got a lot of interesting replies. I am currently using Threads. I have the app on my phone. I'm in the sort of like early access group. It's going to go live right before this podcast goes up. So
we will also be using Threads by the time you watch or hear this.
Follow us on Threads. You know, it's another one. But I think that's the interesting thing. And I guess I'll expand it to two things, actually. The thing that Twitter has had over T2, Mastodon, Blue Sky is infrastructure and people.
Yeah.
Infrastructure, I just say because like they're a real company, and when I look at T2, like they're slowly like building features and bug fixing, and they don't have an app yet, and
scrappy
it's like
startup.
We're gonna figure out how to do DMs in the next month. Like they're really early.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even block someone on T2 yet. Like Mastodon is down all the time. Blue Sky, the app crashes all the time. Like things are slowly coming together, but Twitter, say what you want about Twitter, but they implement stuff for real and fast, even if you hate what they're doing.
Maybe
they're
too real sometimes.
You know, so that's one thing. And Meta has that. Meta has that in spades. They're a real company that can make a real app with real features. And as soon as I use Threads, I'm like, yeah, they built Twitter. They've got reshares, they've got DMs, they've got posts, they've got sharing images and videos, they've got profiles, they've built the connection with Instagram. They've just built it, and they have the infrastructure to keep building things. So that's number one. And then number two, I think obviously Twitter doesn't have a ton of people compared to Facebook, whatever. I think it's maybe 300 million versus however many billion. But it does have a lot of like real people that people care about following. They've got athletes, they've got artists, they've got creators like us, they've got politicians, they've got all these sports teams, TV shows are all on Twitter. And Mastodon, T2, Blue Sky. There's a couple here and there. Like you might log in and be like, oh, cool. Like Oprah's on Mastodon. Like, I don't know. Randomly, you'll see like a couple things pop up. But to me, it was always like, well, Twitter has everybody already. So even if the features are a little bit weird, at least that's where the people are and that's what I'm here for. And Meta also has that because Instagram, Facebook, the social graph is built in. And I guess what's basically happening is when you sign up for Threads, you keep your Instagram handle, I guess is how it works. You don't automatically get, you don't automatically follow everyone or get followed by people who follow your Instagram, but at least you have your handle and you're verified already. And then you jump in and the people are already there. Like when I was using it pre-release, as I've been using it, obviously, you know, Instagram employees, Zuck and Adam Mosseri and people like that, but also just like a bunch of celebrities are already on it, using it, kind of just like poking around. And I have a feeling that's just going to grow kind of the same way it was, because everyone already uses Instagram and expects that.
Yeah.
So those two things, infrastructure and people, they are what made Twitter better than its competitors. And this is the first competitor that's come along that has potentially both of those things right out the gate. And that's why it's interesting to see what happens.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I want to tell a story first.
Okay.
Okay. So,
okay.
Yeah.
This morning, David posted into Slack saying like, oh, Threads is like available and you can go to it and see it. Like, it's not out. You can't just download it, but like the website is up. Mm-hmm. And then Marquez goes, in real life, like in real time, yeah, I've been using this for like 2 or 3 days now, like in pre-release.
And I was like
the real life meme happened to us.
Yeah. Like every time. I'm always like, oh, I've some exciting new information. And Marquez is just like, oh, I've been using that for a while.
It's popping. It's popping off over there. I have a ton of, I had to mute my Threads notifications for the day because,
dang.
I guess because I got a notification for everything.
Yeah. Okay. So questions.
Yeah.
Number one. Does the app feel like really well built out? Like, does it have basically all the same features as Twitter?
Good question. So 80%, yeah. 80% of all of the stuff you'd expect. And I think they're probably going to add stuff that Twitter doesn't already have. So there is no like For You page, but there's like sort of the home page.
Thank God.
Can we see that?
Yeah, you can, let me screen record. Screen record. So just to walk through the UI, there's the home page, just like Twitter. You can like something, you can comment on something.
Well, this looks exactly like
reply
Twitter.
To something, you can attach an image.
Oh, you can do image sharing.
It does crash in iOS 17 beta when I try to image share.
No.
So I'll say that.
iPhone 6.
Yeah, well, just on the iPhone. But there is media, you can share photos and videos. There's a search function, so you can find new users, and it does suggest a bunch. So look, oh, Gordon Ramsay's at the top. I can click in. He's got an avatar. He's got one thread. I can follow him. Cool. There's compose, which is just a compose window. Mm-hmm. There are likes and all your activity, so replies, mentions, verified, and your profile.
Wait, oh, no.
So there is already a sorting mechanism for just people who are verified.
They're building in this whole meta verified thing into this, aren't they?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
If it's through Instagram, they're definitely going to do that.
So it's all here.
Okay.
It's all working.
Other question.
Yeah.
How high quality is the photo and video upload? Because Instagram is crap, and Twitter, before it got bought by Elon, made a very strong push to make photo quality really good. And I really love that about Twitter. Mm-hmm. But Twitter never had any sort of like, they have a media page, but they don't have like a curated like gallery page.
Yeah.
And something that I was hoping, because this is like an Instagram sub product in a way, I was hoping maybe there would be some sort of like gallery linkage to your Instagram or something.
Haven't seen that.
Okay.
And I actually haven't really pixel peeped too much on the image quality either. I'll look into that.
Because Instagram has really low image quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is pixel. Everything you fine tune detail and color and everything, and then you post it and you're like, what happened to my precious?
Exactly.
Yeah. That may still be true about this.
Ugh.
But yeah, they really didn't do any sort of features that Twitter hasn't done.
Okay.
So there aren't like a YouTube studio or like a Twitter analytics studio or anything crazy like that. There isn't like a new gallery view for images. They haven't really gone that crazy or done anything like super innovative, but they have built the bare bones like pieces of a text-based social media app.
Do you know how many photos you can upload at once and what the video max time is?
I have only tried to upload one, and I have only seen people upload one, and I don't know what the max time is, but
if
I imagine...
it's only one, if you can't upload, like, four at least, that's... ugh.
Yeah, four. I've only seen one.
Can you try to do multiple right now and see what happens?
So it crashes anytime I try.
Right.
So it might not work, but let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, add.
Seven crash. Videos?
It just crashes instantly. All right. Yeah, again... the basics.
Okay.
It's got the basics.
I would love to do like 10 photos. That would be amazing. Because the four max on Twitter has also been kind of annoying to me.
You could thread it.
Well, yeah. I think
what
on,
does that mean?
So Instagram, you can do a carousel of what? 8? 10?
10.
10, yeah.
And on Lemonade, you can do a carousel of, I believe, 8 or 10 as
That's
well.
That's not real.
So I think they'll probably do that at some point. But right now, I think really it's just about like the social graph and the interestingness of it being a new place where all the people you already know are hanging out. That's kind of the main thing that's interesting.
Looking at it right there, it looks like Twitter. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
To be honest, because exactly like you said, there are people already on it. It looks and seems like it's acting just like Twitter. Like scrolling through it, I'm just seeing random thoughts with GIF replies and a place to look at my activities and a place to follow people and a way to look at my own profile. Like the notification page looks nice. You can split it up between verified users and all replies and just replies or likes and stuff like that. Like,
and it's also interesting they separated replies from mentions. So if it's a new post that mentions you, that's one section.
That's really
that's
nice.
Really good.
Reply to something you posted, that's a different section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. What was I also going to say? Well, I really lost my train of thought there.
Can you thread things yet?
Well, but so what's it calling?
It's called threads.
Yeah.
And basically every single post has a section where you can jump in and view specifically the replies. So I guess that's their mechanic for it being threads. I haven't been able to thread multiple threads together. I guess it's called threads.
Can you like make a thread that has like when you finish, you hit like add additional thread or add additional
post. Thing. What's the character limit?
Yeah. Is there a character limit?
These are all good questions.
Because like, I'm assuming if there isn't a way to do that, which is already weird because it's called a thread and it feels like you can't thread it like you can on Twitter. So I guess, is there a character?
So you can thread it just by like adding it to this. Basically every post has a thread of all the replies underneath it and you can just add to that thread. And it just shows up in line. So I guess technically that's a thread.
Okay.
Character limit. Test. It doesn't show up visually.
It doesn't show a character count as you're typing. Okay. Yeah, one thing I was going to say while you were trying to hit that character limit is when Blue Sky first launched on mobile, one of the most positive things that we were saying about it was, wow, this looks exactly like Twitter. Mm-hmm. And if Meta can like make something that looks exactly like Twitter, cool. I will say that like Elon made this one point that it's like worst person you know just made a great point.
I hit the limit.
You did? Well, what is it?
It doesn't show how many characters I typed.
Does it feel like more than Twitter? That feels like about the same.
I'd say about the same.
Yeah, it's probably 280.
Don't know for sure.
240.
That's a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Elon made this point where he was like, can't wait for the future when every single social media app on the internet is owned by one company. Mm. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I loved Twitter was that it wasn't part of some mega corporation. But
he also wants to turn Twitter into that.
He's burning it down. He wants it to be a mega corporation. And also it's like now it's bundled in with like Tesla and SpaceX.
That is a potential concern is that all like leaving Twitter because we want to get away from one like, oh, we don't like what Elon's doing. Now you're running into the arms of Zuck. Is that what's happening?
The billionaires own our souls, basically.
Which Threads isn't going to be launching in the EU because of that.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah.
At all?
Because they don't meet the data privacy requirements in the EU. They're still working it out, according to this article.
Yeah, it's not going to be coming out at launch in the EU.
They're going to work on that for sure. They're working on it to get
I don't follow anyone in the EU anyways.
You probably do.
I definitely
all
do.
Of Europe. All of Europe.
Also, quick question. I'm wondering, how do you think this is going to tie into Instagram itself?
So that is my... Yes. That's a big question for me,
app,
for
right?
sure.
Mm-hmm. So like stories, reels, those are baked into the Instagram app. And those are the things that I think of as successful Instagram taking things.
Yeah.
So but I was, like IGTV.
Yeah. IGTV was separate.
IGTV. Separate
we saw that one.
Died.
Yeah. I was told that you will be able to share threads to stories and it'll link directly to the threads app, which is interesting. And so that's how I think at launch, a lot of people will be sharing their threads accounts is by sharing a thread into your Instagram and getting that audience over there.
Mm-hmm.
That actually does make a lot of sense because how many people screenshot tweets and post it as a story?
Yeah.
So if you could just directly share an actual link to a tweet, you have a better way of giving credit to the people and giving them.
Because if it jumps straight to that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It links in, you get to, it's probably because it's your own post, it's probably some sort of verified something happening there just to make sure you can like actually link it.
Yeah.
You know, because of that, I could see this being Twitter, in general, out of all the social medias, if you were to make a sponsored post as a creator, is the worst, like, the worst deals you'll get. Like, because engagement on Twitter is lower, it has less people, and in general, like, it's swiped through pretty quickly. Instagram's higher, and being able to link directly to Instagram, I could see marketing companies wanting to use Threads more with creators than Twitter, if it actually gets to that point of being... as big as Twitter.
Also, if a lot of people feel like they're seeing double because they've heard this Threads name before, there was an app called Threads from Meta. It only closed down last year in 2021, but it was a dedicated Instagram DM app that it was like, it used your Instagram account just for DMs. And I don't know why they had it. I think they were like kind of testing whether or not people, because a lot of younger people use like Snapchat as the main way they communicate, right?
Right.
And I actually talk to a lot of people only really through Instagram DMs because it's a pretty fully fledged like messaging app. Mm-hmm. You know, so they tested an app called Threads, which was just messaging. They shut it down 2 years ago, and now they're just kind of like resurfacing the branding. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, like, the word Threads makes a lot of sense because it's already called a Twitter thread, right?
Yeah.
And so if you can just like Threads for conversations, like,
it's a pretty good name.
It's a pretty good name.
It's a pretty good name. How do you feel about the logo?
It's like the at sign with an additional little loop, right?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just black, white on black.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
It looks too much like a generic at to me, but the color of it is a lot like Instagram, right?
I think it's just
when
black.
You open, or is it black? The splash screen has Instagram colors, but everything else seems to be black and white.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what's funny? And I just found something and I'm not sure it's going to do this, but there's a corner up at the top. There's an Instagram logo. When I hit that, it goes to my Instagram profile. Ooh. I wonder if there's going to be a Threads logo.
That would be amazing.
And I hit that and it goes back to my Threads
account. That would be great.
That seems like what they would do.
That's like a very seamless transition as well.
Yeah.
Like, that looks really nice. Yeah. I really like that.
It's funny because I've built a lot of my following on Twitter and now I'm like, ugh, I wish they were on Instagram. And I have like...
Mm-hmm.
I have a much smaller percentage on Instagram, but I would like more people to be on my Instagram because I actually post my photos there. So if I can have the cross compatibility.
No, I totally agree. And to add on to that, like, I've enjoyed using Instagram more, but you take a bunch of great pictures. I don't. I just make like one line jokes on Twitter every once in a while. So like, I would like to go over there so they can go together. Yeah, I'll write it on a post-it note and take a picture of it post it on my story.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would be a great profile.
Doesn't Alton Brown do that?
Oh, really?
So he does something like that.
Everyone has some version of how they post things.
It's been done already.
Yeah. Cool. Well, by the time you guys listen to or see this podcast, it will be out. So
follow all of us.
Follow all of us.
So all of this was useless because they already have it.
Yeah, they're all like,
they want to know.
Thread at us on how you like it.
I was going to ask that.
Thread me, bro.
A tweet, a Twitter post is called a tweet. Is a thread post just called a thread? Is that it?
It shouldn't be because a thread is still a function within the app. So I feel like they should call it, it's probably just going to be called a post.
Yeah.
And if you make a post and nobody replies, there are no threads. So it can't be a thread.
Exactly. You could thread a thread and have a like thread squared.
You have to reply to yourself to make it a thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you don't use the thread emoji.
How long till we have third party thread apps?
Never.
Never. I feel like the era of third party apps is just over.
Isn't Thread also home tech?
Is part of Matter.
It's part of Matter.
Yeah. Thread is part of Matter.
I have to keep those straight in my head.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thread is out. If you want to follow us on Thread.
Yeah. We will be the same handles that we are on Instagram.
Yeah.
So follow us on Instagram and then follow us on Thread.
I was also going to ask pop quiz to you guys. I don't know how much you keep track of this, but if you had to sort by number of followers on social networks, how do you think we MKBHD channels rank? YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, throw in Google Plus.
Yours.
Wait, so yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got YouTube number one.
Yes.
Instagram number two.
Twitter two.
No, Twitter two.
Twitter two. T2. Yeah.
6 mil, then 4 point something mil on Instagram.
Yeah.
17 mil on YouTube.
Andrew's on it.
4 point something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Wow, there's more on Twitter?
Like six on Twitter.
Where did Google Plus top out?
100 million.
I'm guessing like 200,000.
Google Plus topped out a little over 5 million.
5 million?
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Those are fake.
Yeah.
Those are bots.
I was one of the suggested follows when you first
saw
it. Yeah. So it was.
So Google Plus is more than Instagram.
At the time, that's the highest thing that was not YouTube for me.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's wild.
What's your T2?
I think about 500.
Nice. That makes you top 1%.
That's more than are actually on the site. Yeah,
that's sick. That's actually everyone on the site.
Wow.
Well, burn. All right. I think that's good to know. I'm not on Mastodon, so if you guys are thinking you're following me on Mastodon,
but
it's not me.
Here's another thing with so Threads at launch will not support it, but it will be supporting it. It will support ActivityPub. So you can post on Mastodon and see on Threads, post on Threads, see it on Mastodon.
So we will have third-party thread apps, technically.
Yeah, if you use Mastodon, yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. It's not available at launch, but they're going to make it available, which is interesting. I think that...
Yeah, that is interesting.
I think that it's a PR play because it doesn't... People still want to use, like, the official main app, and Mastodon's still way too confusing for most people. So I think Zuck is like, oh, it shows that we're not trying to own everything and that, like, you know, you could technically use whatever you want, but, like... Most people are still going to use the official app. So
they're
it's a really good
the app first and then go use whatever you want.
It's a really good PR play to make them like look like they're supporting the open web.
And so, also the first party app has to be the most important. It's like for like regular people when, and this is going to link from Instagram as I'm imagining, like there's going to be a button from Instagram to Threads and people will just find it organically through
that. That would be great. I would
That's
going to
be the thing that drives the most discovery.
Yeah. Or they could have just turned Instagram into Twitter.
Well, they had that weird feature, the broadcast feature.
They still have that.
And they still have it. And I think that was the beginnings of this. Have you gotten these?
Yeah. Where they like send out a message in your DMs. That's weird. That just feels like a spam call. Like,
Zuck sent you a photo. And you're like, what? And it's just a mass message to all their followers.
I hate that.
Yeah. I had that happen on my phone while I was showing my phone to someone, and they were like, what?
Zuck sent you
Zuck
a photo?
Zuck just sent you a photo?
What? Yeah, it sends me them all the time.
Then I had to explain.
Three or four a day.
Yeah, we fight in cage matches like twice a week.
Yeah, we've been sparring. It's a good time. Anyway, okay, that's it for this week on Instagram. This week on Waveform, of course. We will probably talk more about these social media things as they grow and expand and evolve. So let us know in the comments what you guys think and what you want us to talk about.
And follow us on all those things.
And follow us on all those things. We will now attempt to answer the questions that Adam asked at the beginning. It's trivia time.
Attempt to try.
I am not going to get these right.
Meow.
I really thought I knew what the second one was, but I don't know anymore.
Adam Molina, I have an idea.
You're I definitely don't know the first one.
First question. What was the first commercially available smartphone with wireless charging?
God, that is tough.
I'm so between two of them that if it's the wrong one, I'll be so mad. But if it's neither of them, then I won't be that upset.
Yeah, that's
I know
that's
the
exactly
era.
How I feel, actually.
I just want you to know I'm changing what I originally put. Ahead
just
of
cross
time.
It out. Don't erase it.
I know the first commercial phone with 2 gigabytes of RAM.
I just probably figured it out.
Did you see they just announced a phone with 24 gigs of RAM?
Yeah.
Really?
Damn, I don't know what it was. But
was it
somebody...
like Red Match? Some crazy gaming phone. Yeah. Well,
all right,
I burned all my time.
Read.
Okay. I don't know the answers. Oh, wow. Oh, that might be right. Okay.
I said the Nexus 4.
Wrong.
It's not right.
I said the S7.
Wrong.
I said the S2.
Wrong.
Oh.
Who's closer?
None of you, actually. Well, I guess technically Andrew's kind of close because I think the Galaxy 6 was the first Samsung Galaxy phone.
That's what I did write
down. Or the 6 Edge, something like that.
Really?
Okay, but
the first one with wireless charging was actually...
Don't say it's the Asus Zenfone 2.
No.
Okay, good.
The Nokia 920, according to Computer World. It came out in 2012.
Wait, that's a Windows phone.
It's not a smartphone.
That's a smartphone.
That's still a smartphone.
Yeah.
I guess
this one's a smartphone. I don't
what was it?
About
the Nokia,
Lumia 920.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one made by HTC?
It was a black polycarbonate. It was a thick phone, too.
Yeah, it was a thick
boy. This is the dumbest phone.
Oh.
I did a video on
that. Oh, I remember that.
I did the 920 and the 1020.
Wow, look at that camera.
It looks so bad.
I like how they have that camera, and then they have the one with the chonker 40 megapixel camera.
That was the 1020. That's the first wireless charging?
The first commercially available smartphone, according to Computer World.
Okay, but what was the first Android phone with wireless charging?
I don't know, David.
2012?
I should be asking you that.
You're right.
The back of this 920 is just like a red square, and then just like this little tiny camera with a thing that says Nokia. It's taking up like 5% of the back.
It was a tiny camera.
It's horrible looking.
All right, next question while David Googles what the first Android phone was with wireless charging. In 2022, the blind smartphone camera test, the Pixel 6a won first place.
Mm-hmm.
What phone came in third overall in Elo rating? This is our own smartphone camera test.
Yeah, I didn't look at the data as much as Andrew did.
Andrew lived in this data for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He just slept under his desk.
Maybe it all blurred together for him.
Definitely.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for. All right, flip him and read.
I put Zenfone 9.
Correct.
Oh, I'm so mad I didn't put it. I assumed this was a trick question because we talked about the Zenfone so much.
Wait, I need this moment. I need this moment.
Oh, my God.
I also put Zenfone 9.
Hey, correct.
Let's go. Oh. I also wrote the order of top four. I don't know if I'm all
20
correct.
Club.
Okay, wait. 20
Club. Wait, I'm still in this.
20. Exactly.
That's
20.
What I'm at, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Wait, yeah. Andrew, what did you put?
I put the ROG. I almost
put the ROG.
Because I was like, but we talked ELO. About Zenfone being good, and then I thought he was going to be like, oh, they're going to put the Zenfone. And I was like, well, I know the Zenfone did
do you guys
good,
want
so
a bonus point?
Asus.
Yes.
No.
Bonus point. What was in fourth place?
No, he wrote that down, so I feel like it's hard.
I already wrote mine.
Oh, well, yeah. What'd you put?
S22 Ultra.
Wrong.
Oh.
It was the Oppo Find X5.
Oh, right.
I should have put Find X as my guess for third.
That's a good
I remember. Yeah.
All right. So new scores. David 24. Andrew and Marquez tied neck and neck at 20.
Which is a great set of scores together because next episode
is the trivia extravaganza.
Yes.
You don't say.
Yes.
My question is... Does the fact that I'm ahead just not matter now because they trivia extravaganza?
No, it doesn't matter at all, right? Oh no,
it won't matter at all.
It's like going from Jeopardy to Double Jeopardy. You technically have an advantage, but it's not very small.
Wow, bummer.
Yeah.
Everyone that's followed up until now, please congratulate me because I'm gonna lose.
You won the regular season round. Yeah, you won regular season.
So, yeah. Now you gotta bring it in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'll see about that first round.
I always crash at.
Either way. That's been it for this week on Waveform. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Catch you next week in our trivia extravaganza where we'll settle this once and for all. Who is really, truly the most trivia tech knowledgeable on this podcast?
Wow, that was really good. Have you said that before?
No.
Did you just come up with that?
Just off the dome. Yeah.
Dude, nice.
I'm a poet. Thanks for watching. See you later.
Bye.
Peace.
Waveformers produced by Adam Alina and Ellis Roven. We're partnered with Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill.